Good morning and welcome to Community Matters. I'm Marcia Connett, your host. With me today is Joan Rory, and Joan has been a guest on the show before. In fact, I was just saying to her, I think she was one of the very first guests I had when I started doing this show quite a while back. So Joan, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Marcia. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I am so glad you're here because we have lots of things to talk about in the Racine community. But, you know, I'm curious if you would be willing to share kind of how you became so involved in the Racine community, and involved you certainly are. Are you a native born Racinian?
I am born and raised, and like any responsible 18-year-old, when I left to go to college in Minneapolis, I said, I'm never coming back.
We all grew.
Isn't it funny how your parents grow up when you go away to college? I came back. I actually met my husband in Minneapolis when we were in school. And it turns out he's a Plymouth boy from a small community north here in Sheboygan County.
Near Sheboygan, yeah.
Yep. And my Plymouth boy and I ended up getting married and starting a family. And that prompted us coming home to Racine. Bob actually got a job here with a photo company. He went to school for fine arts photography, and Sprint Labs, a photo processing company, asked if he'd join them. And that's what brought us back.
Nice. Well, we are most appreciative that you're back because, oh my goodness, you have been involved in so many things over the years. And in all cases, they've always been just a little better because you've been involved in them. Can you kind of chronicle some of the projects and programs that you've been involved in over the years?
Sure. You know, I used to refer to it as passion deficit disorder, but I think I've grown up to the fact that now I'm just reinventing myself on a fairly regular basis. Always loved my community. I had the best childhood at 1508 Dean Boulevard. I went to school a half a block away from my house. The constant sounds of basketballs dribbling in our backyard. And I had an incredible upbringing with a family that was service-oriented, selfless, and very giving. And I attribute my heart a great deal to my parents, but also a little shout out to the Dominican order. I grew up going to St. Ed's and St. Cat's and raised by those Dominican sisters who are such a force in our community and a very strong, silent force. You don't know they're present, but they're there, and they are socially just minded, well, you know, beyond their time.
So
I kind of equate my life of service as it has become to my family and those Dominican sisters.
Absolutely.
Now, I went to St. Cat's, met incredible friends there, and just had a great upbringing in this community. Now, coming back, when we started a family, I was all in on running a family. And again, when we moved here as an 18-year-old, I said, I'm never coming back. But when we moved back here as a family, we said 5 years, and that's it. You know, we wanted to raise our children probably in a smaller community, and then it became 10 years, and that's it. You know, and then number two came along. We're not going anywhere. I'm so embedded, and to be fair, so in love with my community. But I will always say, add to that, we have a lot of work to do. That doesn't mean we can ride on our laurels here. I love my community and the passionate people in it, but we have work to do.
Absolutely.
After a 30-year career in education, I ended and I started with Racine Unified. I was with five of the Catholic schools. I ended up teaching for Apple, ended up at Kenosha Unified. And after 30 years, I was recruited out of Kenosha Unified to work for a software company out of California. And that software company actually sent me to England for about a year and a half. to start a team there. The product that this software company produced, I thought was transformational, and so much so that the CEO recruited me and hired me on. So I went to England. I started a team there. I trained. And when I came back, it was just a whole different thing. I was rather disconnected from my community, I guess. Bringing that story, that chapter, to an end, we were terminated. The product was discontinued. And I found myself 50 some years old in this community. I felt very unemployable. The job market doesn't honor, respect people who have done some time, have some experience, have that commitment, and just found myself really lost. Mm-hmm. I ended up making a full-time job out of engaging in the community. I went to any type of committee meeting or organization meeting I could to try and figure myself out. And it was in that process I met a man named Tom Bueller, who was with an organization that businesses in Racine worked to create a more green, you know, less of a carbon footprint, more green practices, et cetera. And I am also a global water educator. That's a story for another day. But I was really intrigued in this business, in this organization's efforts. So I went to several meetings. And on one of these meetings, Tom and I walked out. And he said, you know, I have this little idea in my head with about four other friends. And I call it visioning a greater Racine. And I'm wondering, we're at the point where I think we'd like to hire someone to start coordinating some events, et cetera. And that was the beginning of my falling back in love with my community. Tom Bueller opened a chapter for me that opened my heart to this community and my mind to this community. Because what I ended up doing was coordinating about 50 some listening sessions with about 15 to 1800 people in the community.
I remember
and
those.
Asking the question of everyone present, what does Racine need to be a flourishing community we're all proud to call home? I heard probably 95, 98% of people's responses to that. And that's kind of where I got the, yep, we have work to do, but look what we have.
Oh, fast my forward, gosh.
Fast forward a little bit, we had an active volunteer base of over 500 people working really hard to bring the voices of these people at these community conversations to light. And I was so incredibly proud of the work we did with Visioning a Greater Racine. I hired Trevor Young right off the graduation stage. We were a team conducting these sessions, and really just diving deep into this community, working with these volunteers to really optimistically, hopefully, and consider the kinds of things our community needs, so that everyone has a place to call home and be proud of it. Visioning a Greater Racine really helped me fall in love with my community. COVID kind of made that stop, as it did everything else.
Yes.
And again, I found myself just, what do I do? Education wasn't an option anymore. And I loved it. My favorite part was teaching teachers. I taught teachers how to integrate technology into their classroom. But now I have a taste of this community. I see its potential. What do I do? COVID allowed everybody to have a little too much time to think. And to be honest, it was rather serendipitous how Social on Sixth came to be, because the space that it occupied at 324 6th Street was long shot vinyl. And it was my Cheers. You know, I'm very active at the 6th Street Theater, and oftentimes after rehearsal, I'd pop into Long Shot Vinyl, and before my foot hit the threshold, Jada or Jeff would have a Scotch Ale waiting for me, and I just knew this space was special.
It
so
was.
When Jada and Jeff decided to relocate, and Jada primarily to a few doors down. I started having conversations with Chris Heffel, the owner, and I said, and we both said, man, this would be such a cool event space. And I kept saying, Chris, when you need an event manager for this space, you just let me know. And long and short of it, we had these conversations several times, and she said, okay, now you need to meet me. This was February of 2021. Let's talk about this. And basically that conversation, Chris said, all right, I can't hire you, but I'm going to give you a deal. It's time you open your own business. You need to do this. You know what you're doing. You're connected. You've got vision. You can do this. Let's do this. And I looked at her and I said, I think you just dropped a dream in my lap. And that was 3.5 years ago.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe it was that long ago. Oh my goodness.
I know. It does seem like a lifetime, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And it made such an impact, not just on downtown Racine, but on the rest of our community. You know, if somebody wasn't there for tea, somebody else was there for an event of some sort. It really was a wonderful, wonderful place. And you had some really creative ideas on how to use it. So what made you decide it had lived its full life?
It is a sport for young people, owning your own business, for sure.
Amen.
You know, 10 years ago, I don't think the life cycle of Soch would have been as quick as it was. It was incredibly spiritual for me. You know, when you just said those words you said, I was overwhelmed with, wow, I'm really proud of that, because it wasn't just the four walls. It was the vibe and
right. It
was the people in there. So in all honesty, the people gathered there could have made this vibe anywhere, but we were just lucky enough that it was in a really cool historical building. And I worked really hard. I work really hard. And 3 a.m., you know, awakening to, oh my gosh, I need to have a white Christmas sing-along, or oh my gosh,
yes,
there's
yes,
so many badass women that come. Maybe we just need a time when only badass women can come into this space and fill the space with this, you know, with their presence and their passions, and no agenda, no motive. So it really was the vibe, the space, and that helped a great deal with the creative ideas that I came up with.
Most definitely. Most definitely. So what's in that space now? Do we know?
It's empty.
It is
empty. It's empty. Lots. Okay. I did ask, lots of interest. The economic climate is challenging for small businesses. So it's really going to take, depending on, you know, if someone's looking at it as a venue, I would love to chat with you. I have zero regrets about that chapter in my life.
Oh,
it
good.
Just literally got to a point where it's too much work for one person and not enough for two.
Right. Right.
And that's where I was. And I was either stressing and overworking in December because I had back-to-back events, and it's just me. And it never failed. The event tonight wants all round tables, but the event tomorrow, all rectangular tables. And the event on, you know, the next day, okay, pub tables. So that I totally underestimated the physical demands of that.
Oh,
and
for sure.
In December, I was dead. I couldn't even enjoy my own family holidays because I was dead. And then in January, with only two rentals, I'm stressed because I don't have enough rentals, you know.
Right.
And how much longer can I ride this roller coaster? So the decision, really, my husband and I started talking about it last October, and it really came to fruition after that holiday season. I just can't put this much energy into this anymore. I need to get back to me and have a life. And,
yes, most definitely.
You know, I serve on several boards. I am embedded in the community. It killed me to say, I can't go. I can't go. I have a gig tonight. I can't be part of that. I have a gig tonight. So
right.
It was the right decision. It was a very difficult decision, but the right decision. So I am just hoping and pray that whoever looks at that space and has ideas, that it'll light a spark in them. And I would certainly, and you know, the kindest thing, my landlord, we were supposed to meet for me to hand off keys. And she said something had come up, and I said, you know, that's all right, because I'm going to cry. So,
right.
You know,
right.
And her comment to me was, you will always have a home at the Blake, which is what they refer to that building as. So that's all I needed to hear. I have a very personal connection to that building for many reasons, but I'll always have a home there. And I understand that. I get that. And I'm so appreciative of what Chris handed me when she dropped that dream on my lap. What a chapter. What an excellent chapter.
No, okay. And what a chapter so many of us had the opportunity to be a part of.
So grateful.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm hoping that one of our listeners who's maybe in their 30s or 40s and is ready
even
to
50.
Try, even 50 is ready to try something like this again. Boy, I'd love to see that space have life again. So that would be wonderful.
Absolutely.
Well, great.
It didn't help either that a number of other venues were opening on 6th Street. So we have a new venue at the end of 6th Street called Chaos on 6th, closer to the courthouse, similar space, similar size.
Really?
Yeah. And I sold him a number of things and chatted with him. So the spark is still there in people. They still, and that always will be there. I love it. I love the fact that the spark is still there for people. And there will be someone.
Absolutely. And downtown Racine is so ready for more sparks.
Agreed.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting to hear. Well, good. And so what are you doing now? What's taking up your time?
Well, you know, I haven't had a whole lot of time to process. So I literally closed the doors at the end of April. I was out of control acquiring vintage things. I prided myself on what I use in that space is vintage or repurposed. There was zero new anything at Social on 6th. So moving that was quite a feat. And all I did was move Social on 6th to Social in Mount Pleasant, which is my garage, my basement, my storage unit. I'm in the process of sorting, purging. I do have a mobile shop, I guess. I call it the Rumpus Room. I do collect and sell vintage and kitschy mid-century modern bar things and vintage items, crazy stuff, and vintage beer glasses, and you know, that goldfish bowl every dad had on their bar down the basement with collected matchbooks and things.
Right.
It was such a great
beer
time.
Caps. Yes.
Yeah. And again, back to my childhood, couldn't have asked for anything better. And all of that is so reminiscent of that time. But so I am, I'll be at a conference up in July in Manitowoc called the Mid-Mod Atomic Conference. They're the home of Evergleam aluminum Christmas trees.
Yes.
So it's their first summer event. I'm super excited. Aside from that, I did have a trip with my family that was 4 years in the making. And we ended up doing that finally after two cancellations. I spent 2 weeks in Ireland with my family, a week with my family, and a following week with just my husband. An epic adventure. And now I am, like I said, on the board of several organizations. I'm looking forward to being back in full servant mode and be in my pool this summer and not worry about not having the rent to pay and having friends over. I'm going to host a Bridgerton tea because I'm so in withdrawal on having tea.
Oh, good.
So, you know, some of the things that I'd like to do personally are I'm able to have on my to-do list right now. I'm not in a hurry to make decisions or seek out something because it's got to be the right fit. And luckily or blessed as I am, I've always been able to find something that worked perfectly for me without having to look too hard. So I'm leaning back on that a little, but I'm going to take a little break.
Good. Well, you know what? You deserve it. And we are going to take a little break right now just to remind people that you are listening to WGTD's Community Matters. My guest today is Joan Rory, and we've been talking about Joan's activities in the community, a little bit about her recent travels. But I want to just go back a little bit to some of the things I know that you're doing in the community. And I'd like to touch on HALO. Now, you are very active on the board of HALO. Is that correct?
I currently serve as vice president. Yes.
That's pretty active. Okay. And, and in a nutshell, tell us what HALO is and does for those who might not be aware.
HALO is Racine's Emergency Homeless Shelter. We have capacity up to 120 beds. We have both women and men and children currently in shelter. It's been an interesting following the HALO journey. I started really with them during COVID, and that was when all bets were off the table and so many things were different and isolation for those who had COVID, et cetera. So I can't say it's been an easy run trying to, and I hate this word, but it's coming to my head, pivot, because it was so widely used during the time of COVID.
Yes.
But HALO is a different organization than it was when it started. It's a different organization than when it was during COVID. And I have to put a shout out to two factors, incredible staff and an incredible board. Having been in the nonprofit realm, it's it's not unusual to hear an executive director say, or someone involved say, gosh, my job would be so easy if it weren't for that board, because it is a challenge.
We all felt that way. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We've all felt that way.
We as a community and we as HALO are incredibly blessed to have the passionate staff, hardworking staff, because they're not doing it for the money, and
that's
volunteers
for sure.
On our board that are truly engaged, they truly have HALO's best interest at heart. And that's, I think, rare. I think it's rare.
Definitely is. And, you know, it's interesting. HALO, prior to HALO, the church where I was choir director for many years, the Emmaus Lutheran Church, was kind of the founding family of HALO. We had a homeless shelter in the basement of our church. And I will never forget, it was Christmas Eve, and my choir was lining up down in the basement to make their big entrance into church. And I just looked around at all these people who had nowhere else to go and were on these cots in the basement of Emmaus Lutheran Church. And it was such a contrast to Christmas and all of the, you know, all of the falderall that we had all been caught up in, that I will never, ever forget that feeling. And to see it go from that to what it has become today is just absolutely amazing to me. But so,
Marcia,
go ahead.
Was it the host center or host location? I know that that organization existed and kind of morphed into HALO, but
yes, and I think that's what it was.
And that was at several locations.
Yes.
And again, volunteer run.
Totally. Yep. Yeah. Totally volunteer run.
Case
Absolutely.
In point,
it was amazing.
We have a community of people that are passionate to serve our underserved.
Absolutely. Absolutely, which just does my heart good and makes me very proud of our community. But you're facing some challenges right now.
Oh boy, what nonprofit isn't?
True.
Yeah, I would say we are definitely facing financial challenges, not unusual in the nonprofit realm. Corporate giving, private giving, all of those numbers across the board for nonprofits are down. I wish I had a good explanation for that. I don't know if that's a COVID side effect. I'm not 100% sure, but I do know it's much more. We had a great deal of COVID money that was given to us during that time, and that's gone. So, you know, that could attribute to some of it, but I don't know. In Racine, I know in the last I heard, I want to say there's like 445 nonprofits registered in Racine County. Now, and it could be a single event like a golf outing for, you know, a person or an organization. Needless to say, there's still approximately 445 nonprofits. And in Racine, the pockets of money for nonprofits are very few and far between, and we're all digging in those same pockets. So it's very challenging to be more creative about reasons for needing funding. And when you're competing with very few foundations in the community from which to draw money, it's tough. It's tough.
Most definitely. And certainly the Racine Community Foundation and some of our industry still steps up. But with 400 and plus nonprofits, how do you decide who to give to and how much?
I really don't know. And I would not relish that decision at all. And you brought up a good point, Racine Community Foundation. They are an incredible partner to HALO. Oh. We have stakeholders, you know, from Johnson's Wax, the city, the county. We have incredible stakeholders that very much want to see HALO succeed. But what does succeed mean? Does that mean HALO isn't in business because there's no more homeless population to serve? No, I don't think so. But at least provide an organization with shelter that we can be proud of, that you know we're serving people, providing resources, etc.
Most definitely. So what's next for HALO?
Well, I'm happy to plug that there's a fundraiser tomorrow.
Okay, well actually it's today because it's Saturday.
You asked me what I'm doing. I am not paying attention to date, time, or calendar. I have no concept. I apologize.
Not a problem.
Today, 4 till 8 p.m., we came across this rather interestingly. So Darlene at HALO works hard on our fundraisers. And in one of the last fundraisers, Darlene submitted a lottery with, I want to say, Buffalo Trace. It's a famous whiskey or bourbon, and she won that lottery for us. And Buffalo Trace, I hope that's the name, sent us some really rare bottles for us to use as auction items or fundraising items.
Goodness,
we have some incredible options tomorrow. But tomorrow from 4 till 8 p.m. at Wits End, which is on County Road G in Caledonia, we're offering a flight of beverages to taste, tequila, smoky moonshine, bourbon, and we're going to raise funds for HALO. And there's going to be all, you know, 50-50 raffles, all of that, live music by Full Flavor. But boy, if there's any way a community member out there would think, how can I help HALO? Well, this is a start.
Oh my goodness. Now, is there a cost to attend or do you just raise money?
Not to attend, but if you want to take part in that flight, there is a $10 fee. There's a $20 cover charge I'm seeing now. So yes, there is a cover charge, live music, food trucks, helping the community organization.
It sounds amazing. So that's today, Saturday,
from 4 to 8 p.m.
until 8?
Yes.
Okay. So you've got time to dust off your dancing shoes and head on out to Wits End. That sounds wonderful. It just sounds like so much fun.
And we're looking forward next year, 2025, I believe is our 20th anniversary for Halo. Wow. So Susan Lytle, who chairs our special events, we're going to be putting our heads together to think of some extraordinary events that the community can be involved in and help us out.
Oh, most definitely. Are there other ways people can help? I mean, obviously, any way that people could donate to Halo is wonderful. And I thought you had a genius idea several months ago when you asked people to just send food to Halo.
Yeah.
And I remember just going on my pick and save delivery app and sending jelly and peanut butter. And what a cool, simple way to stock your pantry and for me to give. Are there
other ways
that people can help?
I believe I threw in there to treat the Halo staff to peanut M&Ms, which seems to disappear as quick as they show up. And let's just say the pantry was filled with peanut butter, jelly, and Girl Scout cookies and peanut M&Ms for our staff. Again,
wonderful.
They're not there for the money. There certainly are ways to help. And I know volunteerism has changed a great deal since COVID. Liz Stancato on our board is overseeing an enormous effort to redo our donation room. We're rethinking how we accept donations, how we manage donations. And any bodies that would love to help in that, we would certainly be. We need people to bring in meals. We have two commercial kitchens right now. Our residents, for the most part, we have tons of food donations everywhere from Papa John's to Chick-fil-A, and that's only a few, but on ONH, on a weekly basis, we pick up donated food. Anyone who would love to come into our kitchen and create a meal would be amazing. I love doing it. Let's bring out the grill. Let's have hot dogs and burgers, you know.
Sure.
There's so many ways that we could solicit volunteers to help. And it's not just money, because of course we'll take your money, but pay attention to our Facebook page. You might see that all of a sudden we're in need for winter coats for little girls or something like that. We try to make our asks pretty specific, because then we're not overburdened with items we can't store or have to sort through. Sure. Like peanut butter and jelly. And we are facing construction right now. We're having our bathrooms redone, the floor repitched, flooring redone. And that means more convenient food. So again, peanut butter, jelly, and bread, and things that don't necessarily require a great deal of time in the kitchen. But any way anyone wants to help, I'd love a group to come and just do a sweep of the front yard.
Perfect.
Clean up the yard.
Sure.
Up the play things. There's so many ways people could help.
Now, if I wanted to volunteer, what's the best way to connect with someone to arrange that?
Our Facebook page, our website, or, you know, I don't know if you have a presence for Community Matters, we can get you a link to put that in there. Call me. My number is everywhere, you know, since I've opened a business.
Okay.
Great. I'm willing to get you connected to the right, to something that you enjoy doing and want to help with.
Absolutely. Well, that is just amazing. And I'm so excited to hear that, you know, that we're breathing a little new life into the program. And you said you were at a fundraiser last night that re-energized you in terms of what a homeless program can be. Can you talk a second about that?
Oh, I'd love to. I was so inspired last night, and I can't compare to communities, organizations, but I was lucky enough to attend the Be the Light event last night by the Sojourner Truth Family Peace House. Talk about a model organization. And they started yes. very small as well. 500 people in this room. Very much the, you know, upper finance or, you know, upper income level of the Milwaukee sure. community. And in no short matter of time, they raised just in front of my eyes, about 10 minutes, $100,000. And that to me just, you know, and I think, oh, well, we're having a fundraiser at a bar, but we're a completely different organization. We are very grassroots. Yes. That an organization started small too. And that's what I just have to keep reminding myself.
Exactly.
I met the executive director, Carmen Petrie of Sojourner Truth Peace House. And we're going to meet and, you know, just any opportunity to share resources or learn mistakes that other organizations have right. made, or are we on the right track? Right. That's what I like doing. I like those connections. So I left there very inspired by the big-hearted people in that room and knowing how hard they worked and listening to survivor stories and the survivors on their board. We have board members who were clients of HALO.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. So don't ask me yet because my gears are still spinning and grinding about how that inspiration will turn into action, but wow.
That wow. is amazing. I'm so glad that, and in Milwaukee, that is such a respected organization.
Oh as gosh, well. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have connected to a really great role model. Well,
it's kind of a one-stop shop. I mean, it's got it all sorts of resources from police yeah. advocacy. It's really a by the book, a yeah. model.
Absolutely. I have been connected to them because of their literacy programs.
Exactly.
And they offer GED assignments. And yeah, it's just absolutely amazing. Well, you know, we've only got about 5 minutes left.
Oh, and, are you kidding me?
No. All of a sudden, the time has gone. And I really want to talk about Horlicks Malted Milk because that was one of the things I was so intrigued about. So tell me what your mind is doing with the Horlicks malted balls.
People who know me are usually afraid to say, what is your mind saying right now? I have to go back into my 1972 world with riding my bicycle through Mound Cemetery with my father. That was where we would ride our bikes. We were only a few blocks away. And Horlicks Mausoleum is located yep. in Mound Cemetery. And in Horlicks Mausoleum, there's a window. And you can look in the mausoleum, dusty, cobwebby, but you can see the bust of William Horlick and his son. And 100 times out of 100, and I reacted the same way every single time. My father and I would lay our bikes down by the mausoleum and go peek in there, and we'd see the busts, and my dad would say, "He moved," of course, leaving me screaming, running back to my bike, et cetera, et cetera. And every time he did that, I fell for it. That was my first, you know, introduction to William Horlicks. Fast forward, sure. What an incredible company that was and presence in our community. 2025 is the 150th anniversary of William Horlicks moving production from Chicago to Racine. Okay.
Really?
So the Horlicks company on Northwestern Avenue has recently been renovated by the Jeffers company and the city. And it's now housing. It houses an incredible business called the Inclusive Bean. I cannot shout from the rooftops enough about this Inclusive Bean coffee shop, which hires people of different abilities. They're amazing. So now we've got something to look at in our community. This Horlicks factory has been renovated, the 150th anniversary. And I'll share this tidbit. In 1925, William Horlicks gifted something to the Racine, city of Racine. Any idea what that is?
No.
Memorial Hall.
Oh my gosh.
William Horlick gave Memorial Hall. So it's also the 100th anniversary of Memorial Hall, tied into William Horlick. Now,
perfect.
I also am I collect Horlick memorabilia. I consider myself an amateur historian. The Malted Milk Tablets, if you were born and raised in Racine, you lived and died by Horlick's Malted Milk Tablets.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, they have been stopped manufacturing years and years ago when Horlick's was sold to Beecham. But now Horlick's UK, which is still in existence, has re-released the tablets for their 150th. So there's so much to celebrate in our community about William Horlick's presence here, the Memorial Hall presence, and we need to get those tablets to come home. Next year,
yes.
In spring of 2025, I am cooking up the Horlick's Malted Milk Ball, and it will be at Memorial Hall, and it will include partners already on board, such as Inclusive Bean, the mayor's office, Jeffers, the company that did the Bell City renovations. Preservation Racine wants in. We don't know how, but we will figure it out.
Yep.
Festival Park is a huge partner. We will be having a ball in honor of William Horlick's 150th. And yes, we're going to be celebrating like it's 1875 at Memorial Hall.
That is perfect, because it brings us right to the end of our show. You definitely have to come back and tell us about the ball.
Right.
And I am pledging right now, I will help however I can with that, because I love the sound of it. My mother was a secretary to Mr. Horlick back in the day.
Yeah. So when I was at Kenosha, really quick, our secretary said her mom was on the line at Horlick's when a call came in to cease repackaging, because now they have to package for Amelia Earhart's trip.
Oh my gosh.
Talk about the history.
Oh,
so
no kidding.
Much history.
So much. Joan, thank you so much. This has been absolutely amazing. And thanks to all of you for listening today. We'll talk to you again soon.